Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And a welcome to our beloved Friday Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, after a week of wringing our hands over Egypt, we're going to take a short break from that. And it's not because there isn't things going on there, but there are some other issues we definitely want to spend time on, good, bad, and otherwise, for conservatives. And as always, we start with the good. There's a little bit of a tiff going on between two governors in the Mid-Atlantic region. There's Democrat Martin O'Malley in Maryland, and of course one of our favorites, Republican Chris Christie in New Jersey. Speaking on the local news station here in the Washington area, Maryland's Governor O'Malley was talking about his plans of balancing the budget and said he didn't like the strategy that Chris Christie was using in New Jersey because Christie apparently, quote, delights in being abusive toward public employees, given all the battles with the teachers and now first responders and so forth. Well, Chris Christie, obviously not one shy to respond. Here's what he said on the Fox Business Network.
It's not about demonizing them. I mean, I heard that pablum that Governor O'Malley was spewing down in Maryland, and you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Let him come to New Jersey and listen to what I'm saying rather than just, you know, get what he gets from his Democratic consultants. You know, the fact is that what we're doing is we're shining a bright light on what these things cost. And they cost a lot of money.
Being brutally honest is lonely work, apparently, Jim, but you gotta love the fact that he just keeps going and is just so uniquely qualified to explain this in ways that everybody understands and conventional politicians have a hard time keeping up.
I love how actually attempting to make things in balance and you know, to actually bring in as much money as you have going out and spending, that's abusive in the mind of Martin O'Malley. You know, never mind the tax rates in Maryland and what the hell, how that would be considered abusive to some folks. One third of the millionaires have moved out of the state since they put in that new millionaires tax. You know, I was in a very glum mood last night, Greg. I was on my other favorite radio program with my friend Cam Edwards, and both of us, you know, looking at the Egypt news and the fact that Obama wasn't really doing much on spending and the deficit was $1.5 trillion and just kind of this, you know, the Obama slight uptick in poll numbers. The news just seemed to be bad and bad and bad. And I was like, you know, maybe what we need is some really bad news to demonstrate the consequences of bad decisions. Maybe we need California to go bankrupt. Maybe we need Illinois to have, you know, checks bouncing. Maybe we need somebody to exhibit where tax and spend policies get you if you never put your foot on the brake. And maybe we're going to get it. And maybe Maryland will be one of those early entrants to this that will, you know, really not believe that any type of reckoning is at hand, that they can put this off, and that in the end, public employee unions have to be protected from the consequences of some really reckless runaway promises year after year, decade after decade.
Well, one of the things Christie keeps saying is that these decisions have to be made because people are losing their jobs and people are losing their homes. So the money's got to come from somewhere. And on the job front, that's martini number two today. We've made it our bad martini. The overall unemployment rate dropping to 9.0%, 9% flat, which is a drop of 0.4%. But only 36,000 jobs added in the month of January. And for those of you who haven't seen Jim Garrity's outstanding explanation of how this happens when a job creation doesn't keep pace with the number of people being added to the system and how the system doesn't count people who have stopped trying to find work, it's an excellent, excellent expose. And you can probably find that on YouTube and I think at Campaign Spot somewhere. But clearly, as much as the Obama administration is spinning this, this is not good news because clearly the job creation is not keeping pace. And eventually, when things do get brighter, we're going to see a huge jump in the rate because everybody's going to try and get back in.
Correct. It's worth noting, I was used, you know, for those who haven't seen it, I use my son's little plastic figures to demonstrate how people move from the unemployed category to the discouraged worker category and how this doesn't go in there. But even by that traditional understanding of how this number can be affected in idiosyncratic and unexpected ways, Greg, I don't think I've ever seen the CNBC panel dealing with, as the moment they come out at 8:30, more baffled by the numbers they were seeing, that it just didn't add up and didn't make sense. And part of it was that you're like, even by their normal standards, an enormous number of people just disappeared from the job force, from the workforce in a, you know, from month to month. And my current theory is mass alien abduction. It makes about as much sense. Some people are pointing out that, you know, weather might be a factor. There's all kinds of unusual things going on at this time of year, plus the annual adjustment of the numbers, et cetera, et cetera. Nonetheless, the good news for Obama and the Obama administration, they can say, look, you know, unemployment's down to 9%. It's down, you know, 0.8% in just 2 months. This is fantastic. The number of people who are actually working, though, hasn't gone up very dramatically. And I have this suspicion that at some point you can't continually blow sunshine to certain places without people beginning to say, all right, this is not working. And, you know, we saw all last year the talk of recovery summer. And in the State of the Union, we saw we've broken the back of this this recession. Well, recovery, you know, I'm making air quotes as I say recovery summer has been followed by the winter of our discontent. We just have one, you know, people will know what economic growth looks like and people know what low unemployment looks like. And, you know, even if our economy has stopped free falling, it certainly feels like we are not in a particularly great economic condition. And, you know, if indeed $4 a gallon gas or $5 a gallon gas is coming down the pike this summer, the outlook for the future isn't looking too bright either.
Now, speaking of blowing sunshine and the weather problems that we're having right now, obviously there's been some parts of the South that have hit a deep freeze. Atlanta's gotten a lot of snow. Anyone paying attention to Super Bowl week is noticing just how miserable all the reporters and everybody else is down there, having trouble getting in, ice coating highways all the way down to San Antonio. So, of course, it's time for Al Gore to pop back up and saying that, once again, that any sort of dramatic weather system, anything that's powerful, anything that's out of the ordinary, yes, everyone, that's a result of climate change and global warming. Anything bad that happens, it's a result of that.
Yeah, you know, I find myself kind of wondering, you want to put to the Al Gores of the world, so suppose global warming really did begin getting mitigated. You know, suppose, you know, that for whatever scenario you're seeing, if it slowed down, what would that look like? And I guess their thinking would be, we'd all have nice days every day. That's the only scenario in which they would not say, oh, global warming is happening and it's real and it's getting worse and we've got to ban the internal combustion engine tomorrow. You know, that in other words, if it's really hot, well, that's global warming. It's really cold, that's global warming. It moves around a bit, that's climate change. They've gamed the system so that any particular weather condition or any type of circumstances can be cited as evidence of global warming. And, you know, most people are just kind of, you know, and Al Gore is literally saying, yes, record snowfall does mean that the earth is getting hotter. And people are just kind of like, all right, you know, this is not if the conclusion is always the same, then it doesn't matter what the inputs or what the evidence is. And that's why people are more and more thinking of this as kind of a faith-based movement rather than a rational analysis of new data coming in on the environmental front.
Two addenda before we go. This weekend, two significant things. Obviously, the Super Bowl. Also, what would have been the 100th birthday of President Reagan. In addition to enjoying a lot of Reagan's greatest moments over the last few days, I've been fascinated by MSNBC's efforts to make parallels between the current president and President Reagan. The most recent one I saw is that both of them spoke favorably of the idea of bipartisanship. So I'm guessing by the end of the weekend, they both had wives and lived in Washington for a while. So I think that's about the extent of the parallels.
Good to know. No, Greg, this just handed to me. They were also both carbon-based life forms. So a deep, deep connection there. By the way, if we find out in the next, you know, we survey the public on, you know, favorite presidents and least favorite presidents, if Reagan's numbers go down, I attribute it to all these people comparing him to Obama. In some ways, it's one of the nastiest things liberals could say about him. So there's that angle, and you're looking at the other one of the Super Bowl. Since your Bears are not in it and my Jets are not in it, Greg, right. I don't know about you. I'll be rooting for the Packers just because I want to see the Steelers suffer for beating the Jets 2 weeks ago. That's my rationalization. That's my only real rooting interest in this. Will you be on the inverse of rooting for the Steelers just to beat the Packers?
You would think so, but actually no, because I've come up with a number of theories. First of all, I think if the Packers win, it's the perfect and beautiful Favre symmetry of him going out in ignominy and the Packers winning. It's hard to watch the Packers play and cheer for them after they've beaten my Bears. And of course, you know, the Steelers owner is the Obama ambassador to Ireland. So there's another reason to be a little bit leery of that. But I generally have favorable feelings towards both teams. Despite being a rival of the Packers, I don't hate them because I grew up so close to them. So either way, I won't be overly upset, but I will be slightly rooting for the Packers.
You know one other reason I'll be rooting for the Packers, Greg?
What's that?
I like cheese.
Sometimes the reasons are just that simple.
Yeah.
Jim, enjoy the game. Have a great weekend.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us next time for the 3 Martini Lunch.